going down Conan O'Brien's Twitter. He said, my rocket ship company will be called No Surprise Rockets because they will all explode at launch, no exceptions. Sometimes gross, a French kiss. Always gross, a French kiss on the cheek. Conan again, 99% of us are merely tolerating you, Celery. Being a grown-up is great, but sometimes I miss crying until someone feeds me. And someone suggested that I take private yoga classes. That someone was my yoga class. You ever wonder why Bert Kreischer takes his shirt off when he does stand-up? Kreischer spoke to Vlad TV and said, fat guys take their shirts off all the time at home. He doesn't remember where or how the habit of taking a shirt off during the first 5 minutes of his routine started and said, I used to just get on stage, rip my shirt off, and kill a beer. It's a way to remind myself that I'm supposed to be having a good time. Seth Rogen spoke to NPR about being criticized for having characters in their films be bad influences. Seth said, we make R-rated movies, so by nature, they're not something that a lot of young kids can go see on their own without their parents taking them. But that being said, I mean, it's something we're more aware of than we used to be, especially now that my friends have kids. There are things I think when we were younger, honestly, looking at movies, things like that, our movies, I think we would justify certain things by saying, like, we're not condoning this behavior. Like, sure, the protagonist is doing it, but they're learning a lesson that maybe they shouldn't do it in the end. I think over the years, I've seen more that if your protagonists are doing it, the nuance that maybe they've learned a lesson at some point in the movie that they shouldn't be doing that is lost on a lot of people. And most people are just like, oh, that's a cool thing to do. So that's something we've become more aware of over the years, I would say. And here's a topic you don't expect, the topic on getting into a car accident and nearly dying while on his first date with his future wife. What? Seth said, I think it probably tells you a lot about the other person very fast. I think you could really get a sense for what someone is like after you've both almost died. And we really still liked each other. We both dealt with it well. Neither of us freaked out. We genuinely cared about the other person's well-being. I think it was really something that made us get to know each other much faster than normal dating. It's like when you see in an action movie, there's two people who've never met and they go through explosions and car chases. By the end of it, they're in love. It was like a very kind of lame version of that. Yikes. The laugh button spoke to Bill Carter about his book, The Late Shift. I love the book. I love the HBO movie. It's on HBO Max. You should watch it. They were like, is it surreal that people are still fascinated with late night after all these years? 27 years after you wrote The Late Shift. Yikes. Bill said, it's crazy, but actually not surprising. Because what I learned from writing the books I wrote about late night and then doing it publicly for them is there's a real deep and biting fascination with this American institution. I think it's an American institution, and people who follow it intensely, and they become very connected to the people they watch. I mean, that phenomenon, which probably started with Steve Allen, but was really intense with Parr and Carson, just continues. I mean, people who watched Letterman in college, that was like the center of their lives. Hi, everybody. That's me. They were so into it. Hi, everybody. That's me. And I think it just continues. There's something about the person that comes on, especially those who do multiple shows a week. They're coming into your homes at a time when you're heading to bed. You might be in bed. There's an intimate connection. They reveal themselves in interesting ways. If they have these shows over time, you find out all you can possibly know about the person, because what are they going to do? They're on the air constantly. And I think they really form bonds. They get very, very invested. So it doesn't surprise me that there's still a deep fascination with it. People do identify with other shows, the host of the Today Show or whatever, in some ways, but I don't think it's the same as a late night person. I just don't think so. Very often people watch late night by themselves. They always have one person stayed up late or whatever, and it just feels different. And I think the format opens up to that. It makes people laugh. They comment on the news. You're following things on a daily basis. There's a whole lot of reasons why the DNA of it is essential. The laugh button said that, you know, feels different today with the heightened political component. Bill Carter said, I think what really started the change was when Jon Stewart took over The Daily Show from Craig Kilborn. Craig Kilborn was basically doing a mock newscast with silly stories, but Jon Stewart, when he's hired to do it, he wants to bring kind of more focus and a sharp edge to it, and he brings point of view. You know what his point of view is, and that really changed the game. Because Carson, who was constantly commenting on the news, was not exposing his point of view. He was walking the middle. But John did that. And then Stephen Colbert comes on afterward, and he's doing a really opinionated show, but backwards, like reverse image, where his point of view is a fake point of view, and his real point of view is the opposite. And I think that started to change the way people would react. In the day when there were just two network shows, and certainly when there was just one, you didn't want to alienate 30 to 40% of the public by showing a point of view. Now Jon Stewart can say, I'm not getting that kind of audience, but the audience I'm getting is very enthused about this show, so I'm going to take a chance and show my point of view. And then Trump entered the picture, and I think even the guys that were reluctant to show their point of view, I don't think Kimmel was particular point of view performer before Trump, you just couldn't stop. You just had to comment on what was going on, and some of it was alarming. So their point of view came out. Seth Meyers had done his own faux newscast on Weekend Update, so he was a natural doing it. And obviously Fallon got into an issue because he didn't show enough intense scrutiny on Trump. And then he started to add that to his repertoire too, so it became absolutely kind of an essential part of late night to comment not just on the news, but on the views in the news. It's a big shift from being praised for not sharing your view to facing backlash for not sharing it and jumping around a bit. Bill Carter talked about Trevor Noah replacing Jon Stewart and said, yeah, it takes a while for him to find his footing. Just look at what happened in the 90s with Conan. It was sort of that same thing where nobody really was sure how he's going to evolve into what he has. Somebody like Conan starts, and he's obviously not polished and ready for it, but he's likable. He's tremendously likable. And then the audience starts with him. They're like, this is my guy. This is the guy I want to follow. And they follow him, and he gets better, and he becomes a star, and they're crazy about him. He's their guy. That was certainly true of Letterman. Letterman was the guy for college guys in the 1980s. Like, wow, you got to watch Letterman. And then Conan did that. And I think when Trevor Noah started, it was like, well, he's not Jon Stewart. But then people started to give him a chance. They want to grow with him, so the show gets better and better. And they're like, okay, now I've got my guy. This is my guy. This is a guy I want to pay attention to and see get better. Nobody's great when they start, really. Nobody's great when they start out this. Some people struggle more than others, and Conan had a really hard time, but they don't come out of the box with a voice that they're going to have later on. They have to establish it, find their own way, find their own footing, and get rid of the little quirks that don't work and smooth themselves out. And the ones that last have done all that, they've all found a way to smooth it out and become a polished guy or hopefully girl or you want to see every night. From Vulture, stand-up existed before the term stand-up did. As early as the 19th century, people performed stand-up comedy-like routines, but they were parts of other types of shows, and no one thought it was its own thing until they did. Wayne Fetterman, stand-up actor, USC professor, and contributor to the 100 Jokes That Shaped Modern Comedy, has taken on the task of laying it all out in his new book, which is called The History of Stand-Up. Fetterman talks about around the late mid-1800s, there was one of the more peculiar forms of early stand-up, lectures. Lectures became all the rage. Fetterman says it was called the Lyceum Movement. It was like TED Talks. And there was a guy named Artemus Ward who was already famous from writing funny things in newspapers. His real name, believe it or not, was Charles Brown. And Charlie Brown works for the Cleveland Plain Dealer and has to cover the entertainment scene, which means he's going to see the minstrel show. Guess what happens in the middle of the minstrel show? The MC or one of the guys starts quoting his bits that he wrote, and he's like, oh, that's crazy. He's stealing it. But what's weird, too, is it's working. My stuff can work on stage. So Artemus recreated himself and decided to make fun of these lectures. That's how it started. There's more to the story, but that's basically it. But why he's key to the whole thing is that for 2 weeks in the late 60s, the 1860s, Samuel Clemens, who was a reporter in Nevada, sees Ward in one of the tours. Ward is making so much money, it inspires Clemens to later do this incredible worldwide tour when he became famous as Mark Twain, which is why the Twain Prize is named after him. Yes, there's no Artemus Ward Prize given to Tina Fey. And that is your comedy news for today. Follow the show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, wherever you get your shows. See you tomorrow.